Brooklyn Beckham enjoys £300 bottle of wine during quiet afternoon in as he complains that his wife Nicola Pelt is, in quotes, making him watch the hills. Heidi High near tragedy which left star trapped underwater. S Club 7's Hannah Spirit shares first picks from Costa Rica as she quits UK to start new life as a farmer. Hello, and welcome to Barely Contained, the podcast that tackles celebrity journalism with all the subtle grace and decency of the Go Compare Man. I'm Chris Beckett, and I'm joined, as ever, by Matt Withers. Matt, hello.
Oh, yeah, lovely reference there, Chris. I have to say, with the Go Compare Man and Greg Wallace, this is not a great time in British history to be a bald, middle-aged man.
No, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's been a while, about a month. Have we got some good stuff today?
We've got some stuff.
That's good enough.
I think you're actually starting off this month, aren't you, Chris? I think you've got a story about a Nepo baby, or however it's pronounced.
Yeah, you're darn right. This is from the Mail Online, and the headline: Brooklyn Beckham enjoys £300 bottle of wine during quiet afternoon in as he complains that his wife Nicola Pelt is, in quotes, making him watch the hills.
Lovely stuff. That's my kind of afternoon.
Yeah, what, the red wine or the hills?
Well, I don't really know the hills. I'm assuming you're going to fill us in on that. Yeah, the wine. I probably wouldn't go for a £300 bottle. You can get change out of £5 at Lidl.
Yeah, it's fair. Brooklyn Beckham enjoyed a quiet Sunday afternoon in by tucking into a bottle of red wine worth £300 with his wife Nicola Peltz.
Lovely. I love the idea that he's chucking into the bottle of red wine. It conjures up an image of him really getting stuck in, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm gonna take another glass. David and Victoria Beckham's eldest child, 25, has been joining his heiress partner, 30, in helping victims of the LA fires, organising a charity event last week to collect donations. Fair enough. And the pair took a well-earned rest over the weekend, with Brooklyn documenting their downtime at Nicola's family home in Palm Beach, Florida, in an Instagram story. He added the caption, "My wife is making me watch the hills," with a TV showing the American reality series in the background.
But although in his post, I think hills isn't capped up, which suggests that they're just there sat looking at some hills, him just marveling at nature.
Well, I mean, as we know about Brooklyn Beckham, he's got an eye for nature. If you remember his ill-fated, was it him or was it Romeo who did the photography book?
I think it was Brooklyn, wasn't it?
I think it was Brooklyn, yeah.
I think he's had a bash at everything, hasn't he? Is he the one who's trying to be a chef as well?
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty much interchangeable, aren't they? You know, them, the dad.
Yeah, them. The cozy afternoon spared no luxury with an open bottle of Sasikala red wine from 2021, worth about £300 per bottle, spotted on the coffee table, and Brooklyn holding a glass in his hand.
Lovely.
The cozy afternoon spared no luxury.
Yeah.
It's an odd way of writing that.
It's certainly a unique way of employing the English language, yes.
He rested his legs on the table while wearing a pair of black shorts, showing off his many unusual tattoos.
Oh my God, yes. It's awful, isn't it?
it's pretty bad, but you know, it can always get worse. Earlier, Brooklyn had posted a snap of a range of cheeses laid out on the counter as he made the most of his time off by checking out some fine produce, perhaps to pair with his lavish bottle of red.
Wow. I mean, you know, you can leave the conjecture, I'd suggest. But yeah, checking out some fine produce. It sounds like he's perhaps at some kind of farmer's show.
Yep, I'm looking forward to some reference to some very, very high-end crackers. Later in the evening, he took to his Instagram story to post a photo of a menu at a high-end Miami restaurant, Komodo, who have recently teamed up with Brooklyn's condiment company, Cloud 23.
He's got a condiment company.
Well, you've got to, haven't you? You've got to use that surname. You got my name, boy. What are you going to do with it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll start a condiment company.
Well, Beckham, Newman, they've all branched out into condiments.
A Cloud 23 marinated Snake River Farms NY strip of steak at the restaurant sets punters back £84.
Good grief. 23, was that Beckham's shirt number? Am I right in thinking?
He was, I mean, he was seven, wasn't he? And then he was, yeah, I think he was 23,
I
wasn't he?
think
Because
he
that was
was.
Michael Jordan's.
That's right. So if it was any way like possible that he wasn't just riding on his father's coattails here, I mean, he's blown that out of the water with the choice of his company name.
His father, David, meanwhile, took a sweet selfie during a walk in the British countryside, wearing a check tweed jacket and a newsboy cap.
A newsboy cap.
A newsboy cap.
What's that?
I can only imagine it's the sort of like, you know, almost like the Hovis advert style. Someone on a push bike delivering bread or news, I would guess.
I'd like to think it was a trilby with a press card stuck out of it,
Or maybe.
like people did in films set in 1950 Chicago to show that they were members of the Fourth Estate.
No, that's a good one. Brooklyn's wholesome weekend comes after his continued efforts to help those who have lost their homes during the wildfires earlier this month, which have caused thousands to flee their homes, as well as at least 28 deaths. The couple who wed in 2022 helped organize an event last Thursday through their charity Yogi House, which saves dogs from overcrowded LA shelters and euthanasia.
Oh.
Sort of on a slightly dark this story.
It really has. I mean, it started off, I think we were having a little giggle about the fact that this Nepo baby was blowing 300 quid in a bottle of wine and then drinking it in a manner that I would imagine that Brian Blessed would do. And we've got onto dog euthanasia.
Brooklyn wore a baseball cap with the charity's name as he encouraged his followers to join them for the event and thank brands for their donations. His and Nicholas' $3.8 million condo thankfully avoided the devastating flames after the chef shared a photo from his window earlier this month with fires seen approaching, while his worried parents said they were heartbroken by the devastation.
Would we describe him as a chef?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I would say no, but you know,
I would
maybe too
say
harsh.
very much not.
The couple divide their time between the Beckham home in London, Nicholas' parents' estate in Palm Beach, Florida, and the Peltz family's luxury apartment in an exclusive Los Angeles condominium complex where Rihanna bought a $21 million penthouse.
Yeah, they could take in some of those dogs themselves.
Is there much more to this story?
Unfortunately, it does appear to
Just
go on for quite some time.
lots and lots of talk about wealth, which, you know, has its place, I suppose, but I'm not really.
There's a lot of descriptions of properties and how much that they cost.
Yes, exactly. It all goes a little bit location, location, location. Let's move to the comments.
Let's have a look at the comments.
Oh, it seems like everyone's just comparing notes on what they had for breakfast. Plop Strudel says, "This morning I had two eggs sunny side up, bacon, potatoes, and a tall glass of orange juice."
Well,
To which someone replies, "Banana and some ciabatta toast with butter and marmite." And then someone at the end of the thread says, "You know what this means? You're a chef, Plop."
fair point.
And then our son effect, very much chiming in with your comments. He said, "Firstly, hate the use of tucking. Just say drinking or eating. By the way, I had a nice cup of coffee with my cinnamon bun reading the post." I mean, there are about 70 similar comments, but let's not linger.
No,
There's
no.
other news to be spun. So, Matt, what have you got for us today?
Well, I've got some highly contemporaneous show business news for you, Chris, from the Daily Express online, and it's headlined "Heidi High Near Tragedy, Which Left Star Trapped Underwater."
Okay.
So,
So, presumably, this is a reference to the, oft forgotten sitcom, as opposed to someone just saying "Heidi High" near a tragedy.
This isn't some sort of new American rap sensation called Heidi High that we're too old to have heard of. No, this is actually a reference to the you say oft forgotten, I'd say best forgotten 1980s
Ah,
sitcom Heidi High.
more of a Urang Milord fan, were you?
Well, there may be a mention of said sitcom in this story a little further. A little further down. So yes, the stand first is fans of the sitcom did not realize there was a scene that nearly cost one actor his life.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, but I've happily gone at least 4 decades
Yeah.
without thinking of Heidi High.
It is incredible that we have managed just to get on with our lives in those intervening years without having to dwell on this particular sitcom. As we find out, it's entirely possible that the journalist who's written this has never heard of it before, which is almost certainly the case. It begins during its 8-year run. BBC sitcom Heidi High had millions of Brits in stitches.
Oh dear, yeah, you're already. Check your facts.
Yeah, I mean that is an out and out lie. Because from what I remember from Heidi High is even at a relatively young age, it was rubbish.
Even at its peak, in its pomp.
I mean, it's incredible that it got an 8-year run, isn't it? Because it was not good. It goes on. Many viewers didn't realize that behind the scenes of one episode, the cast and crew narrowly avoided a devastating tragedy. Now, I mean, I would argue that every episode of Heidi High was a devastating tragedy.
Yeah, they could have done another season.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if there's somebody out there doing an episode by episode Heidi High podcast. It's entirely possible, isn't it? There is somebody out there doing well, three of the stars of A Lower Low now have a podcast series where they dive deep into each episode one by one.
Oh, I didn't know that. I know that some of the former Soprano stars do that. But yeah, hello. I think Sopranos, okay. Hello, hello. Heidi High.
What do you reckon the Alo Alo Deep Dive podcast series is called?
Something about what was the policeman's phrase.
Ah, no, it wasn't one of his. It's called "Listen Very Carefully,"
Oh, I should
which,
say this only once.
yes.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, that's a you know, it's a good name, to be fair.
It's a good name. It is a good name. I don't know what you'd call the Heidi High one, but we've got plenty of time to think about that.
Yes.
The next line I would argue is also incorrect. It says the series gave fans a glimpse into life at a 1950s British holiday camp. Right. So it's not.
Oh
It wasn't a documentary.
no.
And I would argue that that is accurate only if you were also to say that Fawlty Towers gave fans a glimpse into the state of the hospitality industry in Torquay in the late 1970s.
Yeah. Red Dwarf gave fans a glimpse into
How NASA operate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it did. But to be fair to it, I don't think they sat down to try, we're going to, as faithfully as possible, recreate this slice of life.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Paul McShane went full method from.
Yeah. By the end, he'd utterly convinced himself that he was in the 1950s. He went full on life on Mars.
Refused to take off his blazer.
Oh, buried in it, I heard. So the series gave fans a glimpse into life at a 1950s British holiday camp. In one particular episode, Carnival Time, the characters participate in the Crimpton-on-Sea Town Carnival.
Oh, it's like an episode of 999.
Workers attempt to follow orders from their boss, Joe Maplin, to create a float for the parade, but a series of comedic disasters ensue.
With hilarious consequences.
In the episode, one dramatic scene shows a burning float plunging into a pool. And while viewers found the fictional episode hilarious, that moment became dangerously real for actor Chris Andrews.
It really is like an episode of
It
999.
is.
Little did Chris Andrews know in the
That
immortal peril.
as he boarded that float. As the flaming float hit the water, Chris's costume became tangled in it and he was dragged underwater.
His last thoughts were, God, I'm gonna die in this shit show.
His very final words were, "Oh, dear." Thankfully, his co-star Simon Cadell jumped into the water to save him. The incident left a profound impression on series co-creator David Croft, who later described it as the closest any of his productions had come to tragedy. Now, again, I would argue, having seen many of his creations, that that is not true. I would say that everything that man touched came close to tragedy. David and his writing partner, Jimmy Perry, were inspired by Jimmy's time as a Butlin's red coat when they created the series. Heidi High first aired on January the 1st, 1980, and quickly became a well-known comedy series. So,
Lies.
yeah, we're getting into Wikipedia territory here. And Chris, I don't think that this journalist is au fait with Heidi High, and not because I've been a bit weird and looked at her Wikipedia entry and found that she only graduated from university in 2019. Sorry, not
Yes.
Wikipedia, her LinkedIn
Her
entry.
LinkedIn.
Yeah, she hasn't got a Wikipedia, which would suggest to me that she's a trifle too young to be fully on board. She's not a Heidi Heister, as I think they call them.
Well, you say that. I looked her up on LinkedIn and we had a mutual friend in Sue Pollard.
Oh, will she get a mention? The show's ensemble cast played a motley crew of struggling entertainers and camp staff at the fictional Maplin's holiday camp. The series catapulted actors like Sue Pollard, Peggy
Room.
Ollerenshaw, and Paul Shane, Ted Bovis, to stardom.
Oh, yeah, you can remember it, can't you? In the 80s, the number of times you'd go into a club and like Paul Shane or Sue Pollard would be there, they're like in the sort of roped off section.
Yeah, there'd be security there saying, "No taking pictures of the talent." Yeah. Sue played the ditzy chalet maid on the show, but went on to appear in various other comedies afterwards, including You Rang My Lord and Benidorm.
And some comedies.
Yeah, I mean, that really shows her range, doesn't it? She managed not just to be in Heidi High, but You Rang My Lord and Benidorm.
Yeah.
She was also on Sunday Brunch at the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I spotted. I wasn't properly watching, but I noticed that Pollard was on there, having a bit of banter.
No, good on her.
Now this is my favourite line. Meanwhile, Paul went on to land his own show called Very Big very soon in the early 90s. Now,
Right. Yep.
Chris, do you remember Very Big Very Soon?
No.
No. No, me neither, but you won't be surprised to hear that I have spent some time today looking into Very Big Very Soon. It has an incredibly short Wikipedia entry. It ran for one series of six episodes in 1991. It was on Friday nights on ITV. It was a central production. And Paul Shane was a failing showbiz agent who ran his agency from an office above a cafe. It's never been repeated and it's never been released on DVD. But weirdly, somebody has been putting every episode of it on YouTube, and the most recent episode they put up was just 6 days ago.
Ooh.
Think that's
Can we
odd,
reach
isn't
out to this person?
it? Well, I would suggest this person doesn't want to be reached out to because I had a look at their YouTube channel, and he very, very forcefully makes clear that he puts on his channel what he wants to, and he will not respond to any requests.
God. Oh, that's a bit odd.
Yeah, but there's all sorts of stuff on this person's chat. I mean, if you Google Very Big Very Soon, this is pretty much the only thing that it will come to. I've not watched a full episode of it yet because you only get three score plus 10 on this planet, and I don't know how much of that time I want to spend watching Very Big Very Soon on YouTube. But yeah, very odd that episode three was only put up on there 6 days ago.
Well, if you are the mystery YouTuber and you just happen to be listening, then please get in contact. We want to know what you're up to, why you're doing it, what's next.
I don't want to get into this because there's not much comedy potential in this, but if it was only aired in 1991, it was never repeated, never released on DVD. Where's he getting it from? And I assuming it is a he, because this is not the sort of thing that women do.
Well, yeah, I mean, could it be someone with actual links to the show itself? Like,
Well, let's see. I'm going to have to go into this,
producer.
aren't I? Very, very big, very soon. Who else was involved? 1991 sitcom, one season. This is the entire. This won't take up too long, because this is the entirety of the Wikipedia entry for Very Big, Very Soon.
I'm surprised it's got one, to be fair.
Well, yeah. Very Big, Very Soon is a 1991 British sitcom starring Paul Shane as Harry James, an actor's agent. Other characters included assistant Ernie Chester, played by Tim Wilton, Beatty, Harry's romantic interest, played by Kate David. Only six episodes were produced.
Excellent.
And that is as much as Wikipedia can tell you about Very Big, Very Soon. Right, we should probably wrap up this story. Heidi High stopped airing in 1988, but the sitcom is still fondly remembered by Brits who enjoyed watching the chaos that comes with attempting to entertain some of the most unreasonable customers in the UK.
Well, yes, that's exactly how I would describe it.
That is definitely, if you ask me to praise E Heidi High, that would definitely be the first thing that would spring to mind.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, what a piece.
Finally, Chris, I think to find this final story of this month barely contained, you had to reach for the stars.
Oh, very good, very good. Yes, this is from The Sun, and the headline is "Natural to Me." S Club 7's Hannah Spirit shares first pics from Costa Rica as she quits UK to start new life as a farmer.
Wow, well, that's the one that nobody was expecting.
Well, yeah, not reach for the star, reach for the spade.
Oh, very, very good, very good. You should
Yeah.
really, you should really do this sort of thing professionally.
Yeah. Don't worry. The stand first is the Sun quit the. I have my suspicions about this story, Matt, and I'll share them with you in a minute. The Sun quit the UK after her dream business apparently never opened.
The sun quit the UK. That's why it's
Now,
been so cold of late.
yeah, but for me, obviously, I guess they mean the star quit the UK, but it's an odd thing for it. to get wrong, isn't it? It's not just a typo, it's just a sort of definition thing. I wonder if the hand of AI is involved in this story.
Ah, yes. Now that's very interesting. And in fact, I was speaking to somebody just last week who was talking about not the Sun, about another news site that is looking into the possibility of using AI software to just trawl through the Instagram accounts of many famous people and actually produce these sorts of stories without any human intervention, which wouldn't make any difference, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, let's read on and see what we can glean. S Club 7's Hannah Spirit has shared her first pictures from Costa Rica. The former music star previously quit the UK to start a new life as a farmer. Quite Spartan
Very
sentences, aren't
Spartan. I
they?
mean, very, very different from the one that we've just been reading about, Heidi
Yeah.
High.
We previously revealed that Hannah, 43, made a huge decision in an attempt to put her bad luck behind her. In 2018, the singer enjoyed a life-changing trip to Costa Rica and has since decided to relocate there full time. Hannah and Adam, who have girls aged 5 and 3, had previously looked at building a community in Central America.
Yeah, I mean, previously that's tended to be the sort of ambition mainly of Nazis. The whole building a community in Central America thing. That was very much their thing, wasn't
Yeah.
it?
It's yeah, interesting. Now her dream has been realized as she shared a snap of herself and her two daughters on her Instagram grid page.
As everyone says, everyone refers to their Instagram grid page, don't
Grid
they?
page.
Yeah, check
Yeah.
out my Instagram grid page.
The trio were enjoying a meal in their new home as she gushed about her joy at being in the exotic country. As her young children tucked into their pasta bowls, the caption read, "Well, we finally made it to paradise. Beautiful country, beautiful people."
Beautiful country, beautiful people here in Costa Rica. We finally made it to paradise. Beautiful country, beautiful people. Also, that's another reference to tucking in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
What is it about tucking in?
everyone's tucking in these days.
Yeah. A number of fans took to the comments section to give the former Noughties band member their best wishes. Oh, it's been a while since we've had some fan feedback. One fan wrote, "Good luck, guys. Looking forward to visiting in the future. Love to the girls." It's a bit creepy.
That is a bit creepy, isn't it? That sounds something more like a parent would write rather than a fan. Love to the girls.
Check your locks, Hannah. A second stated, "Big love to you all, darling. Have the best adventure."
Again, that sounds like something a family member would say.
This one, "Dear Hannah, wherever you are, may God protect you," commented a third fan along with a red heart emoji.
Wow, okay.
"Wherever you are," she's in Costa Rica.
Oh yeah, that's true actually. Yeah, she's made that very clear. Maybe this person just doesn't know where Costa Rica is and it's just like,
Yeah.
wow, wherever you are.
"Hope all goes well for you over there. You deserve it," gushed someone else. As a fifth added, "Wow, awesome to hear from you again. Enjoy your life there." Now, Matt, there's a little kind of breaker in this story for a Sun poll. Have you ever lived abroad? Yes, but not for long. Yeah, I was away for quite a while. I'm thinking about moving. No, and I don't think I ever will.
That sounds like a very scientific poll.
Yeah. Ahead of the move, Hannah previously admitted, "That's the dream, to move to Costa Rica and buy some land or a farm and live the simple life with the girls." In 2022, she decided to set up the Earth and Fire Cafe in Twickenham, southwest London, with her partner, Adam Thomas. And then there's a little panel of an S Club timeline. But the cafe was never ready to fully open, and a pal of the star told The Sun that she was selling up amid rising costs. They told us, "It's the latest in a series of setbacks. The new plan is selling up and moving to Costa Rica to live off the land."
Well, That's your plan B, isn't it? So everyone's plan B. I believe that the rising costs were incredibly expensive condiments.
Well, yes, and she kept going to Costa Rica to get the coffee.
Yeah, that was it. That will mount up.
I'm sorry to go back to this timeline, but I like the fact it says a timeline of S Club's career to date.
Yeah. Not needed to leave any space at the bottom to add anything else in.
Many more chapters to be told. Yes, but there aren't many chapters to be told in this podcast, and I don't think there are any comments either on this one.
There aren't. There's a lot I don't remember from this timeline. In 2003, S Club released their first feature film, Seeing Double. I don't recall Seeing Double.
I do remember that.
Oh, dude, do you see it?
Yeah. I didn't see it, no,
No.
but I remember it being around.
And of course,
Yeah.
everybody remembers in 2014 when they took part in the BBC Children in Need telephone.
Oh yeah. Great, great.
We
That was a great year.
all remember where we were.
Yeah. Tina doing her thing on the phones.
Oh, lovely stuff. Well, I think that probably brings us to the end of this month's episode, Chris.
Yeah, it certainly does. I've got nothing left to give.
Nothing left to give. I imagine that you, the listener, are just very keen to go and watch Very Big very soon.
Yep.
So we won't keep you any longer. But Chris, if in between episodes of Very Big very soon, somebody wishes to engage with the Barely Contained brand, I mean, is there some way that they can do that?
Well, there is, yeah. They could go on Facebook at Barely Contained the Podcast, where you'd get all the archive footage, all the good old episodes, and a few little outtakes in there as well. Or you can go on to, I believe we're still hanging around with Elon on S on X, at Barely underscore Pod,
Yep,
and.
we're still on there. He'll be off to start a new community in Central America sometime soon.
Yes. But Matt, you know where we are and the rest. I don't know these new modern channels.
Yeah, we're on Blue Sky. We've unaccountably built up quite a few followers, so we perhaps should post them more regularly
Oh
than
yeah.
we do. So if you are on Blue Sky, then please come and give us a follow, and that's by way to contact us, I guess. And then, yeah, usual thing. Please do follow us on whatever your podcatcher of choice is. So if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple or Amazon or whatever floats your boat, please subscribe to us. Give us a rating, 5 stars, please. And yeah, just let people know about Barely Contained, whichever way you wish to do so. Sorry, I was babbling a lot there.
No, I was just going to say, if you're someone as well that perhaps wants something different when you're looking at YouTube and perhaps checking out Very Big very soon, why not listen to us on there as well?
Oh, of course, yep. Every episode, going back right to the start, is also available on YouTube now if you wish to have some very slight visual stimuli whilst listening to our dulcet tones.
Yes.
So it just leaves us to, well, it leaves me to say thank you very much, Chris Beckett.
Yeah, thanks very much, Matt Withers.
And thank you to you, the listener.
Yes.
Yeah. And we will be back on March the 1st.
Yeah. Until then, have a fantastic February, and yeah, we'll see you next month.
Bye-bye.
Bye.